Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Monday after edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so make sure you're over there to check that out. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that way over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
So, all right, Dan. Well, we have another Super Bowl in the books, and literally under the impression that nobody got the kind of game they thought they were going to get. So how about you?
You broke up. I was in that spot.
Oh. No, I said I'm under the impression nobody got the game they kind of thought they were going to get. So did you get the game you were expecting?
Well, when I looked at our tracking for all of our picks, none of us got the game we were expecting, that's for sure.
No. So the last thing I was expecting was 3-3 at halftime and it being a defensive battle. So, you know, I mean, this is the new wave in NFL where, you know, offense is king and, you know, you move the ball up and down the field and score like it's out of control. And yeah, that happened.
Well, you know, that was one of the things I was thinking about last night was I thought that defense doesn't matter and it doesn't win.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not supposed to. You know, I mean, obviously if you watched any NFL regular season game, you know, defense has almost been legislated out. But yeah, it worked out just fine yesterday for you know, obviously both teams. It worked out a little better for New England than it did for, you know, the Rams. But you know, even the Rams played a really good defensive game. You know, just in the end, New England played better. So, you know, just one of those kind of situations. I mean, you know, I heard a lot of people complaining that it was boring, and you know, I think because they're spoiled on the new NFL offense and teams just going up and down the field, they didn't expect this defensive battle. And you know, I mean, while it wasn't the most exciting Super Bowl, it was kind of interesting to see how, you know, these defenses are going to stop two high-powered offenses. And, you know, obviously they both found ways to do it. So, you know, that worked out nicely. But, I guess the other stuff, I don't know. I guess maybe the game just kind of took me out of it. But did you see, the most important thing, of course, is did you have a favorite commercial?
I'm trying to think. I honestly didn't really pay attention.
So, yeah, that was my thing. I don't remember a lot of the commercials. I know the one that seems to be getting a lot of buzz is the the Bud Light Game of Thrones combination one, you know, is getting a lot of talk. But, you know, yeah, I was just kind of like, you know, just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I just kind of was thinking that it's not the same as it was when they, you know, what, 20 years ago when it really started to take steam.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't remember when, you know, commercials started to be the big deal. You know, that, and there was a lot of talk about the halftime show, which I got to tell you, I don't really care who performs at halftime. You know, none of this stuff is really important to me. I guess it seemed to be universally panned. I did hear a couple people who liked it, but it just seemed like most of the people didn't. And I was like, what? I don't understand what they didn't like. So. You know, I mean, I'm not the biggest Maroon 5 fan, so I don't know. You know, I don't know a ton about it or a ton of their songs. I mean, just the ones that, you know, I've seen, you know, here and there. But yeah,
I thought
it was okay, right?
It was entertaining. I'm not really into Maroon 5. You know, Big Boy was pretty relevant 10 years ago. And I haven't really heard of a whole lot of Travis Scott, but I mean, it was decent. But, you know, if you're worried about the Super Bowl halftime show and how it's performed, I think you're, for lack of a better word, an idiot.
Yeah,
unless you're
in
the music industry, I don't.
Yeah, well, you know, I can honestly tell you I don't know one Travis Scott song. The only reason I actually know his name is because he's, you know, all the stories are and the talk is that he's engaged to one of Bruce Jenner's daughters, you know, one of the girls from that Goofy show that I've never seen. So that's the only reason I have any idea whatsoever who he actually is. But yeah, you know, like, yeah, it was cool to see Big Boy. I was a little disappointed, you know, like I thought he was going to play, you know, The Way That You Move. I thought they were going to go into that. It just kind of cut off and he was gone. I was like, oh man. So, you know, I mean, I thought it would have been cool if they could have, you know, knocked out a couple Outkast songs or something, but you know, I was just like, oh, okay. You know, that was the end of that. But, yeah, you know, it was just, you know, I found it interesting that, you know, all the stories you see on stuff was the fact that, you know, it was the lowest rated Super Bowl in like 10 years. And, you know, I can understand that, you know, because like I said, if you were expecting offensive shootout and you're not a big football fan, there's a pretty good chance you found something else to do. You know, you may have just turned the game off and, you know, picked up, you know, whatever, you know, a movie or Netflix or whatever the heck else was going on. I mean, I could see non-football fans doing that because, you know, this is kind of an event where you watch it just because, you know, it's the Super Bowl, not really because of anything else. And I don't think too many other sports have that appeal. I'm guessing mostly because they're done in series where this is just one game. You know, could you see people turning this game off? Did you turn it off at all?
No, I actually kept it on the entire game. You know, I'm, of course, more of a guy who would sit there and watch a baseball game. That was 1-0. So I thoroughly enjoyed this game. You know, the fact that You know, I mean, even though I picked the Patriots to win, I still kind of had a little bit of rooting interest in the Rams just because I like the story behind it. But I do think it's a really great story for Tom Brady that the Patriots have 6 titles, the most in NFL history, tied with Pittsburgh. And would you say, you know, he's part of that reason? So, I mean, if he's not a unanimous first Hall of Ballot Famer, I just screwed that whole thing up, but you get my point. And then I don't know what is.
First yeah, no, definitely. You know, him and Belichick are guys who, you know, I mean, they don't even need to be on the ballot. Just put them in. You know, I mean, there's
yeah.
no, you know, no real questions asked with these two guys. I mean, you know, athletically, Brady will never go down as the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's far and away the biggest winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, it's possible, you know, he's going to hang around a little while. He may, you know, end up being the greatest winner we've ever seen, you know, in our lifetime, you know, even more so than Michael Jordan, which is, you know, really saying something. And I know before you go jumping up and down on me, anybody out there and mention Bill Russell, I said in my lifetime, Schomburg Stu's not here today. My lifetime. Mine and Dan's lifetime. So take it easy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wouldn't you say before Tom Brady and the Patriots, they were most famous for losing to the Bears in 84?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think, you know, some of, you know, they've had an interesting team history. You know, they had the tuck rule with Brady in that playoff game against the Raiders where, honestly, it was a fumble, I thought, for sure. And they came up with some tuck rule. I'm guessing you probably don't remember this one. They had a field goal attempt in a playoff game in the snow where they plowed the yard lines, the main yard lines, so the ref could see. And as the guy came out to plow, he detoured and plowed the spot where they were going to put the ball down for the kicker to attempt a field goal. Now, he wasn't supposed to do it, but nobody really noticed it afterwards. So, you know, it's just one of those odd situations. So, yeah, there have been some interesting things. Obviously, the off-field stuff, you know, there's been a complaint about spy gate, the plate gate, and whatever other things you want to, you know, you want to drop here. But, yeah, it's, you know, in Chicago, yeah, they would have been remembered as the team at the Bears School. So.
Is Dave coming here?
Dave's not here, man. Oh, sorry, wrong
yeah.
Studio. But, you know, just kind of one of those goofy things. But, yeah, now they're, you know, they're definitely a dynasty. I mean, you can't argue with that, can you?
No, you can't.
But yeah, I did find it, you know, kind of humorous. You know, they win the championship. You know, they win the Super Bowl and they have a big award. They win tomorrow, and you know, now their linebacker coach. Well, I guess technically he's no longer their linebacker coach. You know, Brian Flores is named head coach of the Dolphins today. So he goes from winning a Super Bowl to what's probably one of the worst teams in the NFL next year. But I guess, you know, if you want a shot at head coaching, you take it, right?
Where's he going?
Miami.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the worst spot.
So, you know, and all the rumors are, you know, the Dolphins have already talked about their, it's no uncertain words, they would like to lose next year, high pick to get a quarterback. So that'll be a great start to your coaching career. You need to go to a team that's going to tank. But, you know, I mean, hopefully they understand that with him and just kind of bear with him as they suck. So, you know, and then I know the Rams lost a coach, too. As soon as the game was over, their quarterback coach, Zach Taylor, officially became the Bengals who head coach. So, you know, that that worked out. And then I don't know, did you have a problem with the MVP choice being an offensive player in a game that only produced 16 points? I heard somebody mention that today, and I didn't have too big of an issue with it, but did that bother you at all?
No. I mean, didn't he score the only touchdown?
No, no, the running back actually scored the touchdown. He,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think he had like 10 passes for 140 yards. I mean, you know, the biggest disappointment was it wasn't – I picked the MVP who won the MVP. That was my big thing. But, you know, I didn't care that, you know, they gave it an offensive guy. I mean, he put up numbers in a game that just didn't have that big move. So,
no,
yeah,
I didn't have an issue with it. I mean, if they would have sacked the quarterback three times, then I think it would be different.
Well, somebody thought, a couple people thought that Stephon Gilmore should have got it for that that interception that he made late in the game there. But I don't know.
Yeah, wasn't that the deflection?
No, I don't think that one was deflect.
Yeah, but I mean, a bad quarterback throw that another guy capitalized on, to me, it wasn't really like MVP status. You know, if he would have caught that and ran it back, you know, 70 yards for a touchdown, then we're talking.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a, you know, that big a deal, but I guess, you know, just, you know, something to talk about.
Yeah, well, you need something to talk about, you know, because you can't really Monday morning quarterback. Well, you need the Monday morning quarterback to the game, right?
No, you know, I guess not. But, you know, like always, they, you know, they came out with the odds already, obviously way too early to do this, but you know, Dan, if you're going to Vegas anytime soon, you got a little money to put down. It appears that the Chiefs and I believe the Chiefs are the favorite at 6-1. See if I can actually find the because I had it earlier and then like I went away from it. Yeah, the Chiefs are at 6-1. Dan, you know, this line's going to get a lot of action. At 8-1, you can get the Rams, the Saints, or Patriots. 14-1 is the Chargers, the Bears, and the Steelers. 16-1 are the Vikings, the Packers, and the Cowboys. 20-1 is Philadelphia, Baltimore, Indiana, Cleveland, and Houston. 30-1, you got just the Seahawks. 40-1 is Atlanta, Jacksonville, and the Giants. 50-1 is the 49ers. 60-1 is Carolina, Tennessee, and Denver. Tampa Bay sits at 80-1. A nice group here at 100-1. You got Washington, Detroit, Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Arizona. And then, like I talked about earlier, the Dolphins, Dan. You want to wager on the Dolphins next year? 300-1. So there you go. Who are you putting your money on the day after the Super Bowl to win next to the Super Bowl?
The Dolphins. $5.
So, you know, I would gladly put $10 down on the Seahawks at 30-1. I would take that bet and see if I could up some extra cash there. Obviously the Rams are in their division, but I still think I would take that shot. You know, there's a ton of people in Chicago betting on the Bears 6-1, right?
It was 6-1?
14. The Chiefs are 6-1. They're the favorite.
Oh. Yeah, I would take that one.
You know. So, but yeah, and then the other thing I heard, I thought this was kind of interesting. Do you think New Orleans beats New England last night? Because obviously we know New Orleans should have been there. You know, they had the BF call that basically cost them a trip to the Super Bowl. But do you think they win that game?
That's hard to say. I mean, it was a defensive game. It's too hard to say.
No. You know, and then, of course, I guess the second one that was kind of, you know, a little more interesting possible. New Orleans has scored more than 3 points.
Yeah.
So. So, yeah, that was, you know, that was just kind of some of the stuff that I heard, you know, throughout the day. But, yeah, it does seem like there were quite a few people disappointed, you know, with the game itself. But again, you know, we've spoiled all year with these wild high scoring affairs. You know, even through the playoffs, we've got, you know, big offensive numbers. And then we get to the biggest game of the year and we get 13-3. So I would love to know if there was anybody out there who got that right. So,
yeah, I did not see that at all.
I do believe, I think Chopper Stu had the Rams scoring 14 points, but that was the lowest point total we had. So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, but yeah, on the plus side, we did all pick the Patriots, so we all got it right. Sadly, none of us got anywhere close to the score, and none of us hit on the MVP. And all the years we've been doing this, nobody's ever gotten the score right. So,
I don't expect that one.
You know, I figure someday somebody's going to land on it. So, you know, just out of, you know, probably out of curiosity, it'll be like, oh, okay, I hit on the score. So, but, yeah, that was, you know, that's pretty much it for football now. So we move on and, you know, now it's all draft and all the other off-season stuff, you know, the free agent stuff and all that other fun stuff. But I just saw this pop up, Dan, so I don't know. I'm guessing you probably don't even know about this one yet. If I got a time on this. Well, they did file it 4 hours ago. But the Mickey Mouse Network has fired Adnan Virk, V-I-R-K, I guess. They said he leaked confidential information about Baseball Tonight. Is that what it says? Yeah, about Baseball Tonight. So I don't know if or what they have going on here, but it says the company felt he failed to fully cooperate with an internal investigation into an accusation that he had leaked confidential information about the company to the media. Reportedly, he was escorted off the Bristol campus on Friday. So, it says, yeah, the rumor is that he leaked information to the sports media site Awful, announcing about ESPN not bringing back Baseball Tonight as a daily show.
Yeah, I saw that. Or I saw that article that they weren't coming back.
Yeah, and then it also mentions here about Major League Baseball letting ESPN get away with having less baseball studio shows than it had contractually agreed to.
Well, they have their own network.
Yes. So, but yeah, it looks like Verk is planning a lawsuit. No surprise there. It's joined ESPN in 2010. Filled a number of roles. He was the Baseball Tonight host. Did college football and a lot of ESPN radio. So, and then he's the host of a podcast called Cinephile. I'm guessing that doesn't have anything to do with sports, but I don't know. Just kind of weird. I mean, is it that big a deal that he told somebody they weren't bringing the show back full time?
No, I guess they didn't want everyone to be disappointed.
Kind of like you said, I mean, at this point, are we really disappointed? I mean, baseball has its own network. We can just turn that on. I mean, how much Baseball Tonight do you watch?
Well, every time I have ever turned it on, it wasn't on.
Yeah, so.
So it was,
you
pull up the guy, info, and it says Baseball Tonight, and I would turn it on, and it's kind of Van Pelt.
So, I just don't, I enjoy the inside stuff. Like if I can catch, Tim Kirchen or something like that, I'll stop and watch it and see if he has good insider information. But I don't understand why there's that big a deal of it not coming back as a daily show. I mean, in reality, it should be, but they don't seem to invest a lot of time in it. It'll just give them more time to promote the NBA because that's who they have the big contract with. So, I mean, at this point, who cares, right?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much stopped watching it after the MLB never came around. Every year it just went downhill.
Yeah, I mean, they just seemed less and less interested in covering. Yeah, caring about actually covering the game or, however you want to look at it. Yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, great. Why do I want to watch this? I don't. I get a lot better coverage of dedicated to cover this sport, and it just needs to make a little more sense to go there. But I don't know. Is that really? I mean, at that point, God, is that a fireable offense? Can't you just suspend the guy?
Yeah, I would think you would just suspend them, but they, like you said before, they need to cut payroll.
He just found an extension.
That might be where he gets his lawsuit from.
So maybe they just thought it's an opportunity to cut a little payroll and away. I don't really miss him because I don't watch the baseball. Not that that's anything against him, but kind of how it goes there. But I do find it interesting, Dan, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but the Lakers have really found a way to kind of dominate the media, and I'm guessing maybe this is because I did have some of the Mickey Mouse Network on earlier, and I know they're gonna pump up basketball whenever they can because, like I said, they're paying a boatload of money to show it. But obviously, there's a lot going on with this Anthony Davis trade. And I guess the first offer the Lakers made to the Pelicans was so laughable that the Pelicans didn't even counter. So I'm guessing it was like one of our trades. They were going to give you, four of their bench players for your starter. But yeah, now apparently they're working out on a little better circumstances. So that's kind of dominated the news. And then apparently, I don't know when this one happened, but you know, good old Luke Walton, who's going to be out of a job here really soon because LeBron doesn't like him. Apparently he was confronted by a couple journeyman veterans, JaVale McGee and Michael Beasley had a bit of a face-to-face with him. You know, we're talking about two guys. You know, Beasley was, I think, the number two pick and has been a complete bust. And McGee does have a championship ring, but that's just what he sat on the Warriors bench last year. You know, Dan, it doesn't seem like Luke Walton can get a break. How long before he's out the door?
I don't think he comes back next season. No, I'll take that back. I think he gets the 6 days.
Yeah. I mean, you honestly think he makes it through this season?
Yeah, I don't think they fired him yet.
No, you don't think so? So, of course, I guess if they keep him around, he makes a pretty good scapegoat if they happen to miss out on the playoffs, huh? You know, that's a nice guy to point fingers at.
Well, that's exactly what you need. You need a guy. You need a fall guy. I mean, look at the Bulls situation. You know, the backup coach could be the fall guy, but at the same time, you know, he can't be.
Yes.
You know, so that's why I honestly that's why I think Luke Walton finishes out the season and then gets that 6 games next year. They fire him, and then that way they can, you know, run with the interim head coach. They don't have to establish a head coach for another season. And then they're only stuck paying, you know, two head coach salaries for, what, a year, maybe two? I don't remember the exact length of Walton's contract.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But, the Lakers have upped their offer. I don't remember what the original one is, but now it looks like it's going to be a combination of two of these three guys, either Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, or Lonzo Ball, along with some draft picks. And then they mentioned that they're going to offer salary cap relief to the Pelicans, which probably means they're going to take Solomon Hill back in the deal. He has a couple of years on his contract, making about $12.5 million, and I think the Pelicans would like, you know, it's been reported they'd like to dump that, so I wouldn't be surprised to him being part of this deal. But I did think it was humorous, Dan. I think we mentioned this one day last week that we hadn't heard from LaVar Ball. Well, magically, he popped up, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, saying that if his son gets traded, he wants him in Phoenix. Now, obviously, you know, if he gets traded to New Orleans, he's going to New Orleans because he's on a rookie contract. So there's not a whole lot he can do about it. But I don't know. I believe Phoenix is Phoenix the worst team in the league, I believe, right now? Or I think they're the worst team in the Western Conference. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But, yeah, are you surprised that he kind of piped up now, or do you just think with LeBron on the Lakers, he realizes that he would just be shot down with anything he said?
Yeah, I think he would just be shot down with anything he said, especially, you know, the combination of Magic and LeBron. You know, what do you say when you have hands down one of the greatest NBAers in the history of the game, and then the guy who's set to go down in history is one of the greatest also? And you were, what did you call him? What did you say he really was? Just the sixth, seventh man? Eighth man?
He wasn't even that. He wasn't even that. He was just a bench player. He was the 11th or 12th man. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, with these two guys, I don't think he's got, well, number one, I don't think his word carries into the NBA to begin with. You know, it really helped with the kids growing up, I'm sure, and you know, what I saw on their Facebook show with the leagues with the youngest, LaMelo. But other than that, I don't think his word carries any weight into the NBA. I don't know if you know who interviewed him, if they were just calling him out to try to get a word. You know, because let's be honest, what he has to say doesn't mean a thing. I'm sure he would like his son in Phoenix because it's the closest to L.A. And his
Lonzo
got his girlfriend
out,
pregnant. So.
Yeah, it says that he's telling the Mickey Mouse Network, and it was tweeted by this is going to be a fantastic name. The first name is OHM, so I'm guessing it's Ohm, and then it's Young Misa is what I'm going to go with there. He tweets the quote from LeVar that says, "We want to be in L.A., but if he's traded, I don't want Lonzo in New Orleans. Phoenix is the best fit for him, and I am going to speak it into existence." So I'm guessing that means if he goes to New Orleans, we're just not going to hear LeVar shut up. Is that what that means?
Or he's been reading The Secret.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the thing that the saddest part about all this, Dan, is you know some idiot looking for a story is going to give him a platform every day if Lonzo goes to New Orleans just to get a story out of him bitching. So.
Well, you know, and I mean, I don't know why he said that, but I think the writing is on the wall, though, if Anthony, the unibrow guy, now I can't even think of his name for some reason. That's where you come in.
Davis.
Anthony Davis. When he's gone, I think, you know, Ball knows that nothing's going to be happening down in the NO for a while. And Phoenix might be the best place to get something going again.
Yeah, well, I looked. Phoenix actually has the second worst record in the NBA. They're 11-43, so they're right in the ballpark there with the 10-42 Knicks and the 11-42 Cavaliers. Not too far behind the 12-41 Chicago Bulls. So maybe he's hoping Lonzo goes there and they land the number one pick, and he gets to team up with a Zion Williamson or an R.J. Barrett or somebody like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that maybe he'd have a little bit more influence in the Phoenix organization to get LiAngelo in there.
So, because obviously he still doesn't have a job. I don't even know where he's playing. I don't know if he's in the league or if he's still overseas or what he ended up doing.
You know, it could be like the Goran Zoran.
Yeah.
Instead of
happen. So, I think Cleveland signed some guy's brother to a 10-day deal a year or two ago just to pacify him. So, you know, it's not like the first time it's happened in the NBA. So, but yeah, and then the other NBA story I found kind of interesting, and I, for the life of me, I can't figure this one out, Dan. You know, the Knicks made the big trade. They shipped off Kristaps Porzingis to Dallas. I thought it was a really good deal for Dallas, and now it's reported today that Porzingis has said that he will not play this season. Dan, how the hell bad is this ACL injury that this guy's going to miss a year and a half of basketball? I'm confused here.
Does he have Derrick Rose's agent?
He must. Or Derrick Rose's brother. Or doctor. But, yeah, he's going to head into the free agent market as a guy who hasn't played the last year and a half. Now, Mark Cuban has come out and said that, of course, they would like to re-sign him. Of course they would after they just spent, they just made the big trade to get him. I don't know. Is this guy getting bad advice, Dan? I can't see, I've had a couple ACL surgeries and, I missed 4 weeks or 6 weeks of work. Now, granted, I'm not an NBA player. I'm just a big fat tub of goo. But this seems like an incredibly long rehab time for somebody who has everything at his disposal to get better.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe he's worried about the boardroom and collecting workman's comp or however the contract works. I don't know. To be honest, I was trying to be quick to see where Dallas is at. Where is Dallas?
Is
Dallas
it
is
Texas?
12th.
Oh,
12th. Yeah, I
sorry.
know. Fort
No.
Worth area. You know, they're 24 and
Yeah.
28. They really have no hope to oust LeBron and the Lakers to get that eighth spot. I mean, why not completely rest it up and just, take off the rest of the season, train, get 100%, 120% healthy, and worry about it next year. You
Yeah, you know,
should
the tough part
extend the
though is
career.
it's hard to replace that game action. You know, practice
Yeah.
isn't the same. I mean, you need to, play in actual games, but obviously he's getting advice from somebody that this is how he's going to do it. And I mean, I'm sure there's still going to be some NBA team out there throwing gigantic money and years at him because of all the money they've taken in lately, but when stuff like this happens, man, it makes me question a guy's heart on how badly he really wants to play. 'Cause most guys rehab, rehab, rehab because they want to get back, and this guy seems to be rehabbing to sit out.
Or rehabbing to get back on a team that's actually gonna win.
Yeah, well, and I mean, adding him to the Mavericks, though, I mean, that makes them a better team.
Yeah.
They got Luka Doncic in the draft. He's looking like he's going to be a good player. You add Porzingis. I mean, they have some pieces, but obviously, they need him to get on board. I mean, not everybody can play with LeBron or the Warriors or wherever else all these guys think they're going to go because they want to be on these teams. So I mean, eventually this has got to end, right? Then, guys have got to suck it up and just go kind of play where they're traded, or.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the same time, he's going on to a 12th place team in the West. Like I say, even if they make the eighth seed, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to oust the Warriors. Possibly, well, I forgot what the Rockets are, but they're not going to take on any of those top three teams. And, it works out for both teams. I'm sure their contracts have some kind of insurance on it, so they're not coughing up all the money. You put in that insurance claim. That's the underside of it. But then again, then you get a guy who is 100% healthy starting next season. And they get a little
But
bit of
that's only
that,
if he's healthy.
that preseason action. They get that preseason action. And then, I mean, let's be honest, the first month of the NBA, does it really count either?
Well, it depends how you start out, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess we've been here for so long that you forget if it counts.
Yeah. I guess the tough part, though, is you look at a team like Dallas that's on the rebuild, and obviously they're better than last year. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they're improving. So you're trying to add. I mean, Dirk's not going to play forever. You look like you got a guy who can replace him, and then the guy pulls this BS on you. And I mean, I'm not saying he should be out on the court right now, but there's no reason he needs this entire year. You can't tell me he's still injured. I'm not going to buy it. There's no way a guy with professional trainers, professional equipment, and everything else that goes into this, the only way he's still injured is if he hasn't been doing his rehab. And then that would be on him,
Yeah.
and I would go back to the fact that he has absolutely no heart. And, he's just looking to make sure his checks get cashed.
Well, yeah, and I see it as a guy trying to safeguard and extend his career. We all know it's not going to last forever.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're 100%, I mean, what are you safeguarding? You're not hurt. What, you don't want to
Yeah, but it's.
lose? You're safeguarding the fact that you don't want to get beat?
Well, and I mean, if you don't want to be there, how's your head really going to be in the game?
you know, well, obviously his head's not going to be in the game anyways, because he's, you know, clearly a, you know, he's clearly a, you know, a coward, and he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to play. So, I mean, I feel bad for any team that does sign him in the off season, because, you know, obviously he's an embarrassment as a player, and, you know, sadly somebody's going to give him big money, and, you know, we'll probably watch him get hurt again. You know, I mean, well, you know, I guess on the plus side, it only took Derrick Rose about 3 years to get back. So maybe by 2022, this guy will be playing once again. So,
3 years.
You know.
I mean, Derrick didn't start playing anything good until this year. And I mean, we started this podcast in like 2013.
Okay, so 6 years. Okay, well, so 6 years. So by 2025, Porzingis will be putting up numbers again. Of course, by then I'm sure he'll be back in his home country just laying on his piles of money, because there's no way he's got big enough Canucks to actually try to do the work to get himself back. So,
that's
right. Clear.
Don't agree with you at all.
You know.
One time, but, you know, if he gets hurt again and then extends it, then kind of go that way. But, I mean, you're going to a place where you're not going to win. Yeah, you're going to play, but what are you playing for? Just to go out there and play?
He was in a place where he wasn't going to win, and, you know, they weren't going anywhere. This is actually an upgrade.
Yeah, well,
he went to a better team with a future.
Yeah, and I doubt, though, that he was planning on coming back to play this year with the Knicks.
So,
I wouldn't.
I'm sure he wasn't. I mean, obviously, with the, you know, when you don't have a heart, you know, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to play. You know, I mean, I wouldn't either. I mean, hell, I won't be surprised if he won't. No, he won't. He can't sit out next year because he's a free agent, so he's got to go sign a big money deal, and, you know, maybe then he'll get lucky and get hurt again, and, you know, he can sit out and just count his money again, and, you know, go back to, I don't know where he's from, but he can go back there and open a 7-Eleven.
No, he's going to bounce back next year. You just wait and see.
Yeah,
you're
going to
draft him.
He'll
bounce back.
So, yeah, no.
He's going to be the best guy on your team next year.
Well, with as bad as my teams are, that's not saying a whole lot. So.
Yeah, I keep winning. Not by much. But.
Yeah, I can't do anything. It doesn't matter. So, all right, now I saw something that just kind of baffled me here, and I don't understand this at all, but apparently the Giants, who I really was kind of the under impression were going into complete rebuild mode, have had some talks with the Yankees about Jacoby Ellsbury. Explain that one to me, please.
They need another veteran in the outfield?
My guess is the Yankees would be picking up the majority of this deal, which still has 2 years and an option on it. I'm guessing, let's just call it 2 years, because nobody's picking up that option. But, yeah, it's a shade over $21 million these next 2 years. You know there's no way the Giants are picking this up. Then the fact that is he healthy?
I don't even know. It helps the Yankees out, though. I mean, I think they're finally done paying that A-Rod money, so they can afford to eat another contract.
So, yeah, you know, they do suggest here that it might be a situation where the Giants are trying to swap one of their longer bad contracts in this deal.
Samardzija,
Cueto, Belt, Melanson, or Longoria, who are carrying big contracts that I'm sure the Giants would like to get rid of. You know, like Longo has 4 years left on his deal, so if they swapped him, you know, they would be up 2 years. Right, but so yeah, I don't know. I mean, and that's just what they speculate here. So I don't know how much truth there is to that, or if, you know, the Yankees just want to, you know, a prospect and pick up some salary just to get rid of him, because obviously if he's back, in reality, he's probably more of a distraction because he's just going to be sitting on the bench, right? I mean, do they even have room to carry him?
Not really. Not after picking up a guy who's going to be on the, you know, 15, 30, 60-day DL and a month after they start spring training.
So, yeah, that's, I mean, that's just kind of, it was, yeah, it was just kind of baffling when I saw it, and it didn't make really, you know, it doesn't, I mean, okay, if he's healthy, you know, the Giants could probably use another veteran outfielder, but I don't know, is this where you want to go? I don't know, you know, there's other veterans out there you can go get. I don't know why you would go here.
I mean, like you said, I think if they were able to, the Yanks were able to take on, like, Cueto, I think his the contract longer than Samardzija's. I think that would be a better for them. You know, 2 years, three or four.
Yeah, if they were to take Cueto back, it wouldn't be a terrible deal for him because obviously he's out all year with Tommy John, so they wouldn't have to worry about him until next year when it looks like CeCe's going to retire and Cueto could fill that veteran spot at the bottom of the rotation.
Yeah. Well, and then you're taking on another guy, but you're actually, you know, dropping a roster spot. So you're, you know, now at 24, and with Clint Frazier being, I believe he's cleared to play again, right? He should be over a concussion issue. You could bring him on.
I don't think officially, but he should be by spring training.
Yeah. So I thought you were going to bring up the fact that the Giants were going to share their stadium with the change the name to the San Francisco Raiders for the year?
Yeah, for 1 year. Yeah, for 1 year they could be the San Francisco Raiders and then move on to Las Vegas. Yeah, has that? I don't think that's not official yet, though, is it?
No, it's not official. But I just I don't see how that would work. I don't know why they just wouldn't continue to play in. I get it, the city, but if they're moving, why not just continue to eat? You know, rake in the money for one more year at Oakland since it is set up for football, technically. You know, it's not like they're going to start doing any remodeling. Well, you know, maybe that's an issue for the A's, though. If the Raiders' lease is up and they don't want to come back, you know, come October, they could start construction when the A's are not in the World Series.
There you go. So... but yeah, you know, they have to play somewhere. So, you know, I guess San Francisco's as good as any place. I mean,
why not,
you know,
San
unless
Diego?
They decide, you know, unless they're going to go to London, you know.
Well, you know, that could be another thing for the NFL to completely go off topic. You know, why not have eight games? You know, they plan on doing how many in London? So you do two in London, the Mexico game. Maybe you want to bring one to Canada. That's four. Now you've just got four games left to disperse throughout the country, right?
So, yeah, well, you know, the tough part with something like that has always been travel. You know, they have issues getting, you know, getting the travel down because, you know, obviously when teams go to London – the next week they come back, they've got a week off.
Yeah, but the Raiders can stay in London for 2 weeks. You know, week three and four.
When they have to, you know, I mean, it's workable, but yeah, I don't know how it would, you know, how it would go. But yeah, it's not a terrible idea.
You know, I mean, a couple weeks in London, maybe. I don't know if they have another spot, but a couple weeks in London, come back, get the bye week, go down to Mexico. Maybe, you know, maybe go down there twice and then do a game or two at UNLV.
So, I mean, obviously, they'll find some place to play, be it San Francisco or San Diego, or maybe they work it out with Oakland. But maybe they
play
can
one of their games in LA.
We can share share that stadium. How bad could it be, right?
Where do the Rams play? Do they have their stadium yet?
No, they're still. I think they're still under construction for one more year.
Oof.
So.
What about the
Chargers?
They share, still in San Diego?
No, they share with the Rams. So.
Oh. Yeah, during their bye week, they can the two bye weeks they can play one. Match it up, right? They can play a game or two in LA, two in London, two in Mexico, two in UNLV.
And they can even go to Canada.
Yeah. Play in Montreal.
How perfect would that be? It would work out for them. They could just travel the globe, and they could, they would say they're the home team, but they would just really be another road team.
Yeah. I mean, they need to hire us. They just try and figure it out for the Raiders and the NFL.
it'll be fun to see how they work this out. The Raiders have always been a bit of a renegade franchise anyways, I guess you could call it. So.
Yeah, too bad San Francisco knocked down that stadium.
Could they play in Seattle?
Yeah, too bad they knocked down Candlestick Park.
There you go. That would have been perfect for the Raiders. So, but yeah, like I said, you got to figure there's something somewhere out there where they can, where they can play. I mean, San Diego almost makes too much sense. But apparently it doesn't look like they're going to be there for the year.
I mean, San Diego Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, just one of the just one for 1 year. So it's kind of like, does it matter? Really matter? Kind of where they play.
No, that's why I think it's dumb. I mean, technically, Oracle Park would be closer. But, what's to stop them from just going down and playing at Levi Field with the 49ers?
Aren't they separated by a decent amount, the two places?
Yeah. Well, I think it's in Santa Clara, which I think is farther south of San Francisco. But, even though it's literally across the bay, I heard the traffic takes you over an hour or so to get from Oakland to San Francisco.
I'm sure it does, Wasn't the bridge out for a while, though? They were doing repairs on it or something?
Yeah.
I guess, you had to put your inflatable raft up and paddle.
Yeah, I mean, you would have seen the traffic I saw in San Francisco.
We'll be back tomorrow with the Tuesday edition. Now we're going to look at the sports time radio. That's what's going on over there. You never know what you're going to look at. So, just going to go over there. Log in on the Facebook page. We're going to look at it. We'd appreciate you doing that. But don't forget to put it to you. Just on video. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you'd like to do that. But always, big thanks for coming on and listening live with you. I really appreciate it. But don't forget, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want. And I'll see you again next time.
Sports Time Radio.